Finding a new home that fits your family's needs can be tricky. You want your room to be spread out, space to gather, and place to get away from it all. Luckily, when you need a mortgage that fits your family's needs, a great place to look is Rocket Mortgage. When I'm looking for a new house, I'm not thinking, is my mortgage going to work for me? To be honest, I didn't know that was an option until I worked with Rocket Mortgage. If you want to see how your different down payments impact your monthly plan, no problem. You can see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time. How helpful is that? When you need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family, Rocket can. That's because they provide the tools and expertise you need to understand all your options and find what works for you. People think, you know, buying a home is this like unreachable thing and something that only old people do, but you can buy a home and Rocket Mortgage can help. Not sure if you're ready to buy yet? You can check out their online home buyer's guide for tips on where to start. When you are ready and need a lender who will help you understand all your mortgage options, Rocket can. So even if you like, even if you think there's no way that I could buy a home, you can still, you just want to check out because maybe there is. Rocket Mortgage can help you that. Just check out their home buyer's guide for tips on where to start. All you need to do is call for cost information and conditions, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. Aria, let's hit the music.
Welcome to our podcast dedicated to fantasy. We're making football content right here in our factory.
With Henry
and Rome
and Nick Terraney
and 15 other bloggers from our company. Strategy, stats, and laughs galore. We'll give you all the info that you need to score.
Points. Fantasy football points.
Now let's begin. All right, welcome back, fantasy football. We just kind of had a little, it was you know, not a fantasy football draft. We had a little Stool Streams draft of our own coming down off that draft high. It's always just fun doing drafts. That's why we do, you know, the drafts on this show. But drafting is just, it's just fun. It's just fun, guys. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I did too. It was nice. I got my guy, and I'm excited to play some Jenga.
Yeah, Nick was a captain. He drafted Frank the Tank, which was a wild pick.
Who'd you draft? Nate? He drafted your guy, you said?
Frank the Tank.
Oh, I thought Nate was your guy.
One of my guys, but this is my guy.
Nate was taken?
No, Nate was still available. You both know that. But I just, you know, Frank, I have experience making content with. He's my trivia partner. The chemistry's there. Had to take him.
I would like to see it behind the scenes of behind the scenes of behind the scenes of you guys in the Jenga room. I'd like that crew to come back together and recreate that magic because that was one of my favorite videos.
Yeah, I'm sure you would like to see that, but we have closed-door practices.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Roan was not a captain, but he did get selected by Big Cat, which is biggest. You know, that's number one on my big board of teams to look out for just hijinks.
And, right, and not talent.
Headaches. Hijinks and headaches is my nickname for that team.
That was bullshit. I was having a bad day. I had some bad tuna salad for lunch that one day, and it was just affecting all of my performances across my entire job. So that's not really my fault. Big Cat went up and got me with the fourth overall pick. I've never pulled a losing block. I think I'm great at Jenga. So I'm gonna stay positive about this, even though you guys want to take it to a negative place. Fourth overall pick, we're going to go win that $10,000.
He traded up to get you, and he gave away a post. He's posting on Instagram with Tommy Smokes. That could destroy somebody's reputation.
And that might be worth more than $10,000.
Definitely.
It definitely is. Isn't it, like, if you have a million followers, your posts are worth $25,000 or something like that. I think I read that, or maybe I'm making it up.
Either I have no idea.
I think one of the Kardashians was making loco money for flat tummy tea.
Loco?
Loco. That's crazy money.
Buku money?
Even buku bucks.
Wow. What's more buku? Buku or loco? Which buku is a higher superlative?
Buku's more buku, but loco's more mondo.
Yes, mondo.
You knew that. Don't patronize me.
So, I was testing you.
Now, honestly, though, if we were doing draft grades of the Stool Streams draft, considering Frank the Tank has never played and is probably not the most athletic of the other players, you would have to give Nick probably the worst grade in that draft, which is, you know, coincidental considering he is also in dead last in the Barstool Fantasy League.
Despite
convincing us before the show, like, he pulled me and Ron aside. I was like, guys, my passion, the reason, like, you know, I convinced KB to hire me, but all I want to do is talk fantasy. I love fantasy football. Please let me be a part of this podcast. And we're like, all right, we'll give you a shot. seem like you know your stuff. Otherwise, you wouldn't pull this in this room. You're dead last, and you have the least amount of points scored. You don't even have 700 points. Everyone else does.
That's more embarrassing for you guys. You guys fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker. I obviously, I'm in 12th place. I know nothing. And, yeah, you should feel dumb, both of you.
Nick, you took us out to catch steak, and you whined and dined us.
I did.
You were just throwing bulgogi down our throats. You were fucking treating us. We were drunk off meat. There's no way that we could have had a sound mind about us when we eventually wound up having you on board. But you're fucking us over, Nick. You're hurting our credibility. Hank and I are right at the top of the rankings.
I guess you guys are. But, you know, second place gets the penalty as well. And I'd love to be locked in that room with one of you two.
That's true. That would be a frightening sight. Where do you think this went wrong? Do you think it went wrong with the draft? Like,
yes.
If you could draft again, would you change some things, or do you think your players just haven't been performing?
I drafted Michael Thomas, third overall.
Which was a dumb pick.
In a full-point PPR league? That's like 125 extra points at the end of the year. I had to do it, and he's played one game, and not even the full game. He has 17 yards on the season. And he just tweaked a hamstring in practice today.
But he's still on your bench. Well, have you thought about trading him? You know, I could throw you some guys. You want AJ Green for Michael Thomas?
No.
DJ Chark, give him back.
Let's see here.
But you know, it's more than one player. It's not, you know, you don't. It's not one player. One player's not going to score you all your points.
Why are you guys freaking ganging up on?
I'm just curious. I'm just trying to, you know, get some perspective because I'm in first place. So it's like, I don't have perspective because everything I've done has been a success up to this point. I'm just curious as someone who is the exact opposite.
I don't dislike
where your
my
head
team.
Is at. And if
Robert
you could
Woods
draft
playing
again,
great. Kenny Golladay, good player. James Robinson is a running back. What a pickup. James Conner, he's playing well too.
Then Stafford, Lions QB, the Lions stink.
The Lions stink. Matt Stafford has been a letdown. That's why I didn't say him. But even my bench, once Michael Thomas comes back, I'll be playing him. DeAndre Swift just had an awesome game last week.
You do have Claypool.
Claypool.
Why is he not starting?
That's one of the questions I had for you guys.
I think you got to start him. He's
over Devin Singletary playing against the Jets.
I don't know. I mean,
Claypool against Tennessee
or over Singletary Robert Woods.
Ooh, against Chicago. Ooh. Robert Woods has had two touchdowns 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, okay. I just did it. I switched him. Thanks, Hank.
No problem. Nick, I don't want you to lose this league for the sake of our podcast. Not really for you, but for me, if that makes sense.
No, I get for your reputation.
Yeah, right.
No, I get it completely. I'm embarrassed. My parents are mad at me. Everything is just bad in my life right now. Everything. Roan's having a little bit of technical difficulties, it seems. But you know what? Let's talk about you. How are you going to maintain that first place position?
Well, I said last week was, you know, I have two Seahawks players. I have DK Metcalf. I have Chris Carson. And they were on the bye last week. I said if I can somehow pull out this win against Nick, it's all steam ahead. All systems go.
Yeah.
And I did. I pulled it out with ease, to be honest. And I didn't even need Aria. Aria, you know, put in the work. But that was a tough draft. A lot of people were putting out
yeah.
a lot of tweets. I think I said it when we were talking about, you know, who the best pick was, Carrabas with the MLB. People should have thought about that because he just tweets nonstop. So much to the point that I think I have him muted because I didn't even think about him. But I didn't even need those extra points. I beat you handily.
You did, yeah.
Philip Lindsay against the Patriots was huge. I hadn't even been starting him, but I put him in, and he had a big game. They were running a lot, somehow pulled out a win.
23 carries.
I changed Tom Brady at, like, probably 10, 11 o'clock. Tom Brady and Jared Goff switched them out. That was a key decision.
Mm-hmm. That was. And you have Brady in still.
I have Brady and still.
Motherfuckers.
Hey, there he is.
And Brady's up against Vegas. Las Vegas, their entire offensive line tested positive for COVID.
Yep.
That's not good.
No, not at all.
You need an offensive line. So I'm thinking the Bucs are going to win that game.
I wonder if the Bucs defense is available. That seems like that's pick six city with no offensive line.
Yeah, I might try to beat you to it if they are available.
I'm in first place, so you'd probably get it first.
Well,
did you guys see that the the Patriots' defense is available, and they're owned by 94% of leagues, but somehow in our league they're available.
Yeah,
I'm trying to figure out what's up. Is there something to know about the Patriots' defense? Do they have a stink on them? Hank, I'd have figured that you'd scoop them right up.
Well, now that you say that, Ron, I didn't realize. Someone must have dropped them. I bet you someone dropped them and picked up the Bucs defense. That's the only logical explanation for this.
Yeah.
Because why?
There's always two or three defenses every year that you hold on to even through a bye.
That's my question. That's my question, fellas. If it's coming to that time of the year where kickers are on byes, where your defense is on byes, and there's a lot of guys on my bench that they're either injured or I just don't want to give up on them yet, or I want to keep on stocking my bench. Should I be just getting rid of my defense or kicker and replacing them with another defense or kicker, or should I be getting rid of the last guy on my bench to accommodate when my kicker or defense is on a bye because I didn't draft backups at either position?
If you have one of the top two defenses, I'd hold. Kickers, I don't, excuse me for what I'm about to say, I don't give a hoot about a kicker.
What?
Uh-huh.
What the fuck, Nick?
I know. I'm sorry.
Nick.
Listen, they're oftentimes the highest scoring players in team history, but nay.
Nick, you know that we come on after Sesame Street and before the Magic School Bus, and you're going to say stuff, crazy stuff, like I don't give a hoot?
Listen. If kids start saying it, it's the parents' fault, not mine.
You're not a role model.
I'm not. I've never said I was.
Kickers aren't.
Hell yes.
I'm fully on board with that. Kickers aren't real people. Can't rely on them. Can't trust them. Sometimes they have, you know, 24 points. Sometimes they have three, and it just doesn't even really matter too if the team's doing well. Like if you'd think like if your team's scoring a lot of points and your kicker's going to get a lot of points, but that's sometimes not even true. Sometimes the bad team's kickers get more points than the good team's because they can't score touchdowns.
Roan, I see you holding on to that Baltimore defense, and I think that's a smart move.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hanging on to them because they have a bye this week, but I didn't know what to do. I wanted to get rid of them, but there's nobody on my bench that I feel that comfortable getting rid of. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of like the players on my bench, or at least I want to hang on to some of the guys on my bench, but I just want kickers out of my fucking life. Like, I don't. They serve no purpose in fantasy football. They never excite me.
No.
They always fuck me over.
They just fuck you over. Like, every kicker I play against gets 20 points, and every kicker I have gets 3.
Now, let me ask you guys a question. If you're out there and you're holding on to some Dolphins players, where's your head at this week with Tua getting the first start? Are you excited or are you a little worried because it's a different offense, different quarterback, first quarterback jitters? What are you thinking?
You know, Devontae Parker owners, I have some shares in him. I'd be a little nervous. I like the way Fitzpatrick was playing. Devontae Parker was getting a lot of targets, playing well.
But they made the change for a reason.
What was the reason?
I don't know the reason.
They were winning.
But there clearly was one.
Right.
And I'm guessing that it was Tua is, you know, showing that he's ready to roll and he's a better player.
I worry that Tua will resort to his legs too quickly. And so I think there could be a regression there with some Dolphins skill players.
Here's a hot tip. Tua Tagovailoa is the first left-handed quarterback to start in the NFL since 1976. So that means that the field
What about Michael
true.
Vick?
What about Kurt Warner?
What about them?
Yeah, you're right.
The field is flipped.
Yeah, you're right.
The field is flipped. Let you hear me out, fellas. The field is flipped when there's a left-handed quarterback, so the two becomes the one, and the one becomes the two. That means that now Devontae Parker should be dropped in every league for Preston Williams. Preston Williams is about to get all the looks because that's just where Tua's body is naturally going to go, the left side of the field. Everything is lining up for a big Preston Williams week.
I like that, but I'm going to counterpoint with a Gesicki. I think that rookie quarterbacks are going to depend on tight ends, and I think he will get an uptick in targets. I've heard that sound before.
Yes, you have. The slow release of an inflatable mattress.
If I was sitting, you know, I would probably sit. If you have the opportunity to sit them, at least for the first week, especially going up against Aaron Donald and the Rams, coming off a loss, no less. I don't know how well it's going to go for Tua. In my head, Tua is fast as. Is going to be as fast as Kyler Murray, but I know that's just not the case because no one's legs can go as fast as Kyler Murray's.
I don't know.
Kyler
if that's
Murray
an illusion.
Looks hilarious when he runs.
Yeah, yeah, he looks.
His legs will probably move twice as fast as mine. I was thinking that, like, if it was like just steps he takes.
But I think his legs are twice as short.
Yeah, it's like an optical illusion. Yeah. It's great to watch though.
He runs like a little proud fire hydrant.
Now, if you are having some quarterback woes like I am, I know Stafford is fucking me. Matt Ryan, I benched him when he got 30, and then I start him when he gets 7 points. Would you take a shot on Tua?
Yeah, I would pick him up. Don't start him this week, but I think he's going to put up some big games later on the season. You don't make a switch mid-season with a guy like Fitzpatrick who's Mr. Consistency. They have some wins. They're in contention. They're not doing terrible. He hasn't put up like any stinker games. You don't make that switch unless you know Tua's got something that Fitzpatrick doesn't. And, you know, in college he does. Like, he got drafted where he got drafted for a reason. So I would pick him up if I had quarterback roles, which I don't. I do have I got two good quarterbacks, Nick, if you're, you know.
You have Tom Brady and
want to do some wheeling and dealing. Jared Goff.
Jared Goff. I was just going to ask, would you rather have Goff for the rest of the year or Tua?
Goff.
Tua's a little bit more fun.
Yeah, but it's going to be highs and lows, ebbs and flows. And in fantasy, that's not what you want. Jared is at least more consistent.
Jared has a rough schedule. I think they have the Bears this week. I mean, Jared against Big Mac. You know, last time a Jared faced off against a sandwich, that ended badly.
it ended in a prison sentence.
It did, so I don't know if I'd want to start him. Yeah.
No, there's four quarterbacks that I'd rather pick up off the waiver wire than Tua right now.
Can I guess them?
Guess them.
Joe Burrow.
No, he's not one of them.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes, definitely one of them.
Philip Rivers.
Garoppolo.
No, and no.
Kirk Cousins.
Herbert and Minshew and Baker Mayfield. I like Justin Herbert as a rookie right now a little bit better than Tua. I need to see something from Tua before we really do this. Like, I think that Herbert kind of looks good, and I didn't like him coming into the draft. I thought that he was kind of a boring pick. Mm-hmm. Now, he kind of looks like he has some juice.
He just can't close out games, but in the first like half, he's looked unbelievable.
I worry about Baker Mayfield's health. His ribs looked all banged up. I think they should have benched him halfway through that game. He threw an interception on a ball he was trying to throw away. I think he couldn't get it out. I don't know. I worry about Baker, and in turn, that makes me worry about Odell and Jarvis.
Yeah, Baker's next. Baker played against two top five defenses his last two games in that Colts game and against the Steelers. But his next little suite of games coming up against the Bengals, against Vegas, against Houston, against Philly, against Jacksonville, against Tennessee. None of those are really imposing defensive backfields. It could be good value.
I have a quick question, Rowan, off the cuff a little bit. Boston Scott's a scrub, right? I can just kick him off my team.
Dude, tonight, I mean, on Thursday night, I don't know if this is going to look stupid retrospectively, but I think that Boston Scott is a good guy to have around because Miles Sanders is hurt, not going to be playing tonight, and he shredded the Giants the last time they played them. He had that one really slow spin move. It was like in slow motion, but he had over 100 yards, I'm pretty sure, scored a touchdown. If you're going to play Boston Scott any time this year, it was against the Giants, which is happening in the future for us, but in the past, if you're listening.
All right, so, I mean, if you're listening, you'll know whether or not Roan was right or wrong.
Is a fucking idiot. Yeah, I might be dumb as hell.
You know, if Roan is wrong, let's blow up his mentions. Roan, what do you want the people to call you if you're wrong?
Erroneous.
Oh, I like it.
Is it? Can hell you be Erroneous?
Erroneous? Yeah.
No, like, is that a thing?
Yeah, can you be Erroneous or can you only be Erroneous? You can be irresponsible and responsible.
I thought erroneous was like based off the word error, like erroneous, like filled with error. Maybe just erroneous is just filled without error. I don't know. Because it does seem like the ear prefix. Hank, you've made us think about English today. I appreciate that.
No problem. That's why I'm here.
That is why you're here.
Another thing I've been thinking about this past week is Cowboys players.
Yeah.
Beginning of the year, you have Cowboys wide receiver, Cowboys running back. Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard, you know, putting up huge numbers. Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper. You are very, very happy with those players. Dak Prescott's leg snaps in half.
Yeah.
They look so bad on Monday night. Do you think they can right the ship? Do you think Andy Dalton can just give them enough to get the points and the yards they need, or are they just fucked?
Yeah, can I tell a little story really quickly?
Please,
yeah.
Please.
I grew up with only one sibling, a sister, who was 18 months older than me and better than me at everything.
Is that Irish
she
twins?
Was better. I think Irish is within 1 year, but it's like Irish half siblings or some shit. I don't know. But it's close enough where it did illustrate how Irish my family is. But my sister was better than me at everything. Better at playing the piano. Better at football. She was better friends with my friends at school. She could drink more than me. She could fucking handle her drugs more than me. Mm-hmm. She's a freaking savage in every single way. And I played against her in fantasy football this week. And she beat me. She beat me by 0.32 points because the Cowboys wide receivers suck so fucking bad. Amari Cooper is supposed to be that fucking boy. He's supposed to be a top five receiver in the league. And he couldn't do anything. He got beaten on Monday night by Kenyon Drake, a player who is not that good. And supposedly Amari Cooper's a stud. I'm out on all Cowboys wide receivers, Hank. And I appreciate you bringing that up.
I am the opposite. I think the Cowboys' defense is so fucking bad, the worst ever, statistically, that they're just going to have to heave this ball with a devil-may-care attitude. Amari found the end zone last week. I think they're going to be down in every game, and they're going to have to throw. It doesn't matter if it's pretty. It doesn't matter if they win. This is fantasy, and, you know, I like the situation that the wide receivers will have, always being down, are always having to score 35 points to win a game.
Andy Dalton was giving me vibes of someone that, like, signed up to be a backup and was, like, hoping he never got in. He looked...
he stopped working out.
Yeah, like, yeah. He looked terrible. Like, he was like, all right, yeah, paycheck, moved to Dallas. Like, he's from that area or went to college there. Like, sure, let's go.
It would be cool to be a Cowboy, and it would be the coolest to be a Cowboys backup quarterback.
Right. But he looked terrible. I mean, not like he was that good in his last few years in Cincinnati, but he looked like he, like Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, like can't throw the ball and also isn't accurate. So not.
What are the most likely jobs for Cowboys backup quarterbacks? What are the things that they wind up as? Because the starting quarterbacks wind up as announcers. We know that. Like Troy Aikman, Tony Romo, all announcers. Kellen Moore, I think, was a backup for them. He's
offensive coordinator. That's what I was going to say. Garrett, I think, was a backup there. He became offensive coordinator, then coach. I think that's...
How many of them start car dealerships?
I was just going to say car dealership. That's the move.
That's the move. And maybe you have both. Or maybe you open a steakhouse. Maybe it's something like that.
Hybrid of the two.
Yeah,
Dalton,
the Quincy
Dalton
Carter Steakhouse.
Dodge and steak.
Carter's Chop House, yeah.
Yeah,
fuck yes.
Either or. That's what I'd do.
No, I'm in the same boat. But I was burned by Michael Gallup, too, so I'm just out on them as a whole. And I also don't like their offensive line. Like, the only person I'd really be... like that I'd be excited about is, I guess, Zeke, but he fucking sucks too. So it's like a tempered excitement because of what you had to spend on him to get him at the top of the draft.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? Let's stop living in the past this week. How's your team looking this week? Hank, you want to win? You going to win again?
I don't even know who I'm playing this week. I'm so over the moon about beating you last week.
But Hank, that win is not as powerful as you would have thought going into the season. Like that's like beating a team that's like beating like the Vikings or something who you thought were going to be good this year, and then it turns out they're trading Yannick Ngakoue and fucking they're not the juggernaut that they were slated to be on your schedule.
No, but for me, it's more like, you know, my star players. It's like going in and like, you know, the Cavs or whatever, the Lakers going to play the Warriors, but LeBron's not playing, so you think the Warriors are going to blow them out, but somehow they can pull out the win. That's how I felt without DK Metcalf and Chris Carson on my active roster. I'm playing against part of my take this week.
Whoa. You're playing against Amari Cooper. They have Amari Cooper. They have Kyler Murray.
They have Boston Scott tonight. Oh, fuck. I'm going to go tell him after this that Roan said don't start Boston Scott. They have Kittle playing against New England. Yeah, I mean, they have a solid team. I'm just going to have to try and win this draft and then hopefully pull out a victory. What is the Jeff D. Lowe draft this week? Do we even know?
I don't think we know. Is Jeff here?
it's going to have to be something that we can flip pretty quickly because this shit is happening. This shit is happening fast.
Oh, yeah. There's a... Yeah. We need to know.
I'm going to need those 10
points. I think
points.
That you guys talked about it a little bit while I was having microphone issues, but I had interned Sean in that draft. I wound up in second place. And I think he annoyed people so much with how much he was tweeting that there was a campaign to unfollow him. Basically, kind of at my – I pushed him to tweet so much, and it just annoyed the fuck out of people where it might have lost him followers, him being a participant in this. So I want to thank him for putting his reputation on the line.
A big shout-out to him. And while we're doing shout-outs, Joe Murgo, my meteorologist, I never said anything. He I got his Mallow Cups that he sent, and they were delicious. Roan, you were shoveling them down your throat. You loved the Mallow Cup.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't get enough of them. I was fucking taking them down with a straw, dude. I was fucking sucking them down nasally.
Yeah,
I couldn't get enough of that.
That was quite the sight.
I would drain the mallow.
Roan, as the resident Philly guy, I need a win. And I'm up against Travis Fulgham tonight.
So that's my question. Last week I got into some shit with Tom Scabelli and Frankie Borelli and Trista Crick because I was desperate to get Travis Fulgham on my team. Mm-hmm. I was banking on everybody thinking of Travis Fulgham as a flash in the pan, and I do not think he is at all. He's had some of the best numbers that an Eagles receiver has put up in like 4 years. He's had a touchdown in the last three games. He is someone that Carson Wentz can rely on. Carson Wentz is a guy that locks onto receivers. If you have Carson Wentz's trust, that's a great player to have on your team, and I am pissed to know that the villains of the league, Tommy, Frankie, and Trista, have him on their squad. They're going to start him this week, and I think he's going to put up some numbers against you, Nick.
That's a damn shame. I hope you're wrong, but I don't think you are.
Yeah, look at their other receivers that they have on their bench there. Would you rather be starting Travis Fulgham, Chase Claypool, or T. Higgins? Or do they not have Chase Claypool?
But they do have Cooper Kupp on their bench.
They have Cooper Kupp on their bench. They have Darius Slayton on their bench. They have.
They're starting T. Higgins over Cooper Kupp, though.
Yeah, T. Higgins has he's put up some nice numbers the last couple of weeks. He's emerging as a number one option. He's fully taken over the A.J. Green role.
Yeah, he's looked really good. Over 100 yards last week. Yeah, I
you know who
mind.
They have on their bench?
Who do they have
that
on
I kind of like is J.D. McKissick.
You like? I just like saying it. I like phonetically. I like that name. Say it one more time for me. That was butter to the ears.
J.D. McKissick. It's the name that sounds like if you said it backwards, that it would be like the same name. It definitely wouldn't be. But there's just something about it. It sounds like it was like phonetically played with.
Not enough NFL palindromes. That's for sure.
Yeah, has there ever been one? John Racecar.
Mike Toot.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's ever been a palindrome. If you're listening, please submit your NFL palindromes if there ever have been any.
Yeah, and speaking of the people listening, our Unioneers, we're going to get to your guys' Unioneer questions. But first, I think, Nick, you said you're hungry. You want to order some food or something?
Yeah.
Kind of recording a show, but where?
Wait, I have a suggestion, Nick. Yeah. I have a suggestion.
I don't know, Roan, I'm picky. What are you thinking?
I've been woofing down Jimmy John's. I've been crushing Jimmy John's. It's just the fucking... There's something about that bread that they have over there that is absolutely electric. What do you think? Are you interested? Have I swayed you?
Dude, I haven't even thought about Jimmy John's. Jimmy John's is fire.
Why don't you tell me more?
Jimmy John's is the fucking best. Let me just say this. Let me say this off the rip. I've been to Jimmy John's in 48 states, and I'm pretty sure that every single time I have a Jimmy John's, I am enjoying the hell out of myself. I think that Jimmy John's... No one's ever said this before. I think Jimmy John's has the best mayonnaise in the world.
Without a doubt.
Whenever I'll taste their mayonnaise and I'm like, is this different? Are they doing something that's way different than anything I've ever tasted before? And I'm not sure if it's the bread, if it's my mindset when I'm going to Jimmy John's, the excitement that unleashes something in my palate that accepts mayonnaise better. But the mayonnaise at Jimmy John's is so goddamn good. I just want to lather up in it. I just want to hook it up to a shower head and fucking bathe in it like I'm fucking Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld famously used to bathe in mayonnaise from Jimmy John's, and I want to be like him because I just like it. I like it that much. I just enjoy the food in it that much.
Well, Roan, I hate to interrupt, but you're in luck.
No.
You know why?
Really? Why?
Because this week at Jimmy John's, every time you order one sandwich, you get a second sandwich half off. You have to use promo code football at jimmyjohns.com or with Jimmy John's app. This is through the 8th of next month. See jimmyjohns.com for additional terms and conditions. You must order online on the app. You can use it as many times as you want until the promo ends. Contactless delivery if you're worried about getting sick. And the sandwiches, well, they're freaky fast and freaky fresh. They have fresh sliced veggies, fresh sliced meats, and fresh baked bread, as you said. It's a perfect deal for you and a friend, or your girlfriend, or your boyfriend, or your best friend, your work friend, friend of a friend, or if you just want two to yourself. If you're torn between two sandwiches to get, fucking get both.
So, what?
Yep, that's Jimmy John's. Let's use promo code football.
I know what I'll be eating for, until November 8th.
You like to add chips to yours, don't you, for that a little extra crunch?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're sick.
Oh, Hank. You're so sick, Hank. There's nothing like politics to get my appetite going for a little bit of Jimmy John's. I hear people yakking about red states and blue states, and I think about smoked turkey, ham, salami, delicious lettuce drizzled all over my sandwich like a nice mayonnaise. There's nothing that gets me fired up like Jimmy John's.
I actually might put an order right now, and I'm actually starving. But Unioneers questions. Any chance Juju stops making? I'll let Aria. These are some of the ones that were just from the ads. I'll let Aria read the other ones from the questions, but these are just some ones that I got over the course of the past week. Any chance Juju stops making TikTok dances and actually puts up decent numbers this week?
The nerve of that dude to score 3 fantasy points and then tweet a video of him dancing in the middle of the field. The nerve.
It's like he was only concerned about doing the dance in the middle of the field. Like, he was probably, instead of going over the steps of his routes in his head, he was just going over how he's going to bust that fucking renegade down in the fucking middle of the field.
I think he obviously pre-plans these touchdown celebrations.
Of course.
And if he doesn't get in the end zone, he'll just do it after the game. It's no loss to him. He gets to dance.
It's a waste of reps, yeah. That's all he cares about. Chase Claypool, is he cannibalizing some of the targets that are going to be coming the way of Juju?
Absolutely. I mean, Chase Claypool looks like he's the guy.
I mean, if it's not, there's a lot of mouths to feed on that Steelers offense. And Deontay Johnson, James Washington, Juju. I mean, any given week, it could be any of them. But I think Juju's lost a little bit of that consistency that he had his rookie year.
Is Fulgham, we talked about this a minute ago, but is Fulgham a must start this week? I guess it's too late because we're touchdowns. This is Thursday.
This is too late.
I'll say no. Just no.
I don't know. 2 weeks ago, 152 yards. Last week, 75 yards. This week against the Giants. And any Giants fans in this room?
No. Fuck the Giants.
Giants freaking stink.
Yeah.
And so Travis is He's gonna play well, and I'm playing against him, and so you know that's a good sign. If they're playing against me, they're gonna do well.
Should I trade Ronald Jones and Gaskin for Stephon Diggs and Nick Chubb? I'd say yes.
Ronald Jones playing damn well.
So is Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, and Chubb is coming back soon. And I think Chubb, I thought Hunt was going to blow me away, be that rookie Hunt that was on the Chiefs. Hasn't really, and that's a run-first offense. And if you really think Chubb is healthy, I would do it, because I think Chubb could be he's certainly a top-5 running back in the league.
Hunt is questionable this week. I'm in leagues where people have dropped Nick Chubb.
Oh, my.
And it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Why would you? That's such a short-sighted thing to do. That just doesn't make a lot of sense to me at all. I scoop Nick Chubb up real quick, but at the same time, people just don't do that. Don't do that at all. I would make the trade. I would pull that trade if I were them.
All right, Aria, what else we got?
Our union member, our very own Barstool employee, Logan, is wondering, what does he do with Melvin Gordon right now?
I don't know.
A lot of people are benching him.
Yeah, I mean, Phillip Lindsay looked good last week. I would keep him. I don't know. The DUI, getting a DUI and then getting benched, but not because you got a DUI, is so sus that it's hard to wrap your head around. Like, I don't know how I'd feel if I had him on my team. I'd probably bench him, but if it really wasn't because of the DUI, you might be good, but who knows?
It's weird to me because Melvin Gordon, you know, he's partaken in a lot of bad drives on the field, and he decided to take it off the field for this one. And, you know, it's disappointing. And
Fantastic stuff, Nick.
Thanks, Ron. thanks, bud.
We got Jeff D. Lowe in the room, but I just wanted to make sure that that joke didn't get fucking bulldozed over. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I was trying to get Jeff's – can you repeat it, please?
It was a DUI.
Yeah, this will be better. It's always better the second time.
Yeah, jokes are always better the second time, sequentially, just right in sequence, the same joke. yeah, Melvin Gordon's partook in a lot of bad drives on the field, but it looks like he decided to take it off the field this time. Thanks, Hank.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Ari is losing his shit.
Let's put a pin. I've always wanted to say it. Let's put a little fucking pin.
We'll circle back.
In the union year questions. We have Commissioner Jeff D. Lowe in here talking about our non-football draft, but there may be a twist on this one. No. I don't hear you.
No, it's not on Jeff, but I can hear you in the room. Just share with Nick. Just cozy up to Nick.
Is it on now? Nope. All right, we're on Nick's mic. So the non-football is football this week. So it's going to be called the non-NFL position. I haven't sent it out yet because we're not tracking it till Saturday.
Oh.
So we're going to be using the same way you score defenses in the NFL. You will be selecting college defenses. Here's the twist. From the same game. So you will be selecting one game. And you will be scored for both defenses.
Oh.
And the total points will be added up together. So if you take Clemson and Syracuse, which I don't know why you do that. I imagine Syracuse is going to give up probably 900 points. You will take whatever the two defenses score, add them together. The team with the most points gets the 10 points, so on and so forth. So you will have to pick one game. And do you go with the game that you think is going to be an under game? You think it's going to be a low-scoring affair? Maybe one of those new – go Penn State, by the way, to my guy Rowan here. Happy Big Ten season.
This is
going to
be a Big Ten heavy.
Yeah, right? Is that a Big Ten move? Or do you go with a game where maybe, yeah, that team might win like 42-3, but they're going to probably have a defensive touchdown, three picks. So I don't know I have no idea what the strategy is. I'm going to send it out on Friday morning. But you're going to not just pick one defense, but you're going to pick the game. And you get both defenses in that game. I don't know what the strategy
Jeff.
Is here.
That's diabolical, Jeff. I love it. You know who I'm looking at right away? Service academies. Low scoring. Defense is going to be happening. I need to look at the slate fully, but something along those, some kind of army game, a little bullshit with a Citadel or something like that, that could get me going.
If they're playing each other, little tip, service academy games almost always go under. Almost always go under. But I don't know if any service academies are playing each other. And Citadel, I believe, counts in that. So just a little something to think about.
This is a fantastic one, Jeff. It's diabolical, though, because this is a company that's been built on overs, and I can't frame this in any other way than having to root for an under in a game.
Nice thing is, maybe eventually this will be worse defenses. Could spin it around in the future. And once the WNBA wait till we start throwing in WNBA. It's going to be...
What's the scoring going to be, Jeff? Is it going to be just the same exact scoring from our league, and you're going to have to tally that up yourself?
We'll have to do it manually. That's fine. That's not that hard. The scoring is pretty well laid out there by the unnamed service that we use. But they, we'll use whatever points we have in our league will be applied to the college game you pick, both defenses, then you add up the total points, and then there you have it. So you're going to have to do a little studying.
What did you think of the results of last week's of last week's draft? I thought that it was a rather electric one, with Carrabas winning, Sean Gross coming in second, Bailey coming in fourth.
Well, I'll make the note on Roan. I'm sitting at my desk on the exact opposite end of the office at the bar. I hear Roan talking to someone. I hear Roan's voice, that Philly accent. I hear say something, and then the only reply the only thing I hear on the other end is I hear from my account. And it was clearly Sean Gross wondering if he should be tweeting these things from his account that you were telling him to tweet. Smart move. You coached him up well, because I think he probably would have hit without you. But the man loves his units. He likes to lay a lot of units out there on Saturdays. The Notre Dame man.
Yes, he's got a ton of units, and he was happy to let the world know, as he always is. But at this time, it was at my behest.
He's smart. We watched Nick. Nick was there. He said... He's an interesting man. He doesn't like betting spreads. He doesn't like going against the market.
That is what he said, and Big Cat retorted with, "How do you make gambling so uncool?"
Oh, man. What an addition. Well, Jeff, we're going to have to look at the slate. We're going to have to look at the board, yep. And we're going to have to figure it out. But this is a doozy this week, and it's been changing the league a lot, so we're looking
pivotal.
Forward to
you
it.
You got to perform well in this. And I will one other extra comment from that last one. Disappointed in BW Carlin. Him not winning, that's just... You expect more from him. You expect over 200 tweets. I was bummed out.
Dude, I think what it was some of the people took it as an insult. Blattman stopped tweeting entirely.
Yep.
Aria's tweets were way down.
I thought I was tweeting a lot.
No, see, that's Aria gets a bad rap, I think. Like I said, I wouldn't have taken Aria.
You gave it to him.
No. What? No.
I don't even take it personally.
You picked
to be
him.
Honest with you.
No, but I said I only retweeter. Right. I only picked Aria because I was doing it to spite PFT. He was not even on my big board because he tweets a lot, but there's people here that tweet a lot.
I was Blattman shocked.
I think Blattman gets a bad rap too because I don't know. Maybe it's just because I don't know.
But I was shocked with the numbers.
The pure numbers, I don't think, are as much as people think.
I took Dave Portnoy, and I was like, yeah, he tweeted 45 times. I thought that was a fuck ton in a week.
I was like around 42. I thought that was a fuck ton.
Yeah,
I thought it was being annoying.
Yeah. I thought Ari was doing good. I was like, I gotta be first. And then I saw the numbers. I was like, holy shit.
I don't even have 45 thoughts in a week. I don't get it.
All right, last thing.
Just a barren wasteland brain.
That challenge confirmed that Jared Kropos is the reply guy.
Yes,
that's the biggest thing we took. Jared Kropos, reply guy, good guy, reply guy.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Commissioner Jeff.
All right, are we got any more questions before we move on?
Yes, we do. This one is let me pull it up. This guy has a loaded roster. I'm not going to get into all the specifics, but he says he has too many good choices. This is Judge Fudge, by the way. He says he has too many good options at wide receiver and running back. Do I try to trade them away and get a great flex, or do I just stay with what I have? And I don't need to go through every player, but you guys did bring up Cowboy wide receivers, and he does have CeeDee Lamb on his bench. He has Slayton. He has Christian Kirk. And those guys are on his bench. So he has a stacked team. In my personal opinion, I think you just stick with it. That's what I think.
Yeah, don't get cute. If you're winning, stick with it. Or if you believe in your guys, stick with it. I mean, Slayton, I'm worried about his tweaked, what was it, an ankle, hammy? Slayton tweaked something in the lower region. Christian Kirk, he had a good game. He does seem to be built a little different. But, you know, I don't know if he'll be reliable.
So he's built regular, you're saying? Or his different is bad?
His
he's
different,
built efficient.
His different is still regular, but it is different.
It's different, just like anybody else. I don't know. I always think that when you're trading, like, you need to convince the other person that you're giving them two players that will start for them and getting a better player return. That's always a really hard thing to do. I like to target either new people or injured people in trades, and that's kind of my speed, my advice.
All right. Now, union member Uncle Rico. Do you believe DeAndre Swift is going to take over the Detroit backfield, or will it be split between him and AP?
I hated seeing those AP goal line carries. I think he got in the end zone. Did he get in the end zone twice last week? But DeAndre Swift got a lot of carries. I liked what I saw out of him. He looked good. So he got in the end zone.
Swift was scoring too.
Yeah,
Swift was scoring
they were all
as well.
Scoring. You know,
I think that DeAndre Swift is that bull. I think that he is the top rookie running back right now, and I think that he's going to start getting a lot of carries.
Now, I have him on my team run. He had 14 carries last week. It's the first time he had double-digit carries. 116 yards, 2 touchdowns. Do I start him this week against the Falcons?
Here's a little insider information. Ooh. I was supposed to interview DeAndre Swift last week, and I think his team thought that he was injured, and so the interview got a pin put in it, and then he played and put up crazy numbers. So if that's what he's doing, a little bit injured, imagine as he grows more healthy. Imagine as he transcends a little bit there. I like DeAndre Swift.
I like that. That's info not many people know.
Fuck yeah.
This guy, COVID-19 survivor, he needs a bye week running back fill-in. Who does he go with out of these three options? Le'Veon Bell, Damian Harris, or Frank Gore.
Yikes. I don't even know if Levis
don't,
playing.
Just don't start one. Yeah. Just don't start a running back.
Fuck.
Park Frank Gore.
You think?
I mean, he...
Yeah, because it's the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, you might get lucky. Like, I don't think...
Fall
don't
into
think,
the end zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a goal. He's a huge goal line.
All right, yeah.
Although Le'Veon Bell, though, they might try and do the, like, you know, let's try out our new toy type deal.
I think today it was announced they're not even sure if he's going to play. It depends on his grasp of the playbook. And I don't want to make any assumptions, but I don't know if Le'Veon would go in there and prioritize doing that.
That's a very good point. Steve L. wants to know, can Gronk be trusted after his performance last week?
No.
Really?
Really.
But they, really, him and Brady are, have the connection. Like, they're back.
Yeah.
It looks like they're back. That's what I was thinking.
I mean, you think back? You think they're back?
I don't get why they look like over under what?
Over under 3.5 touchdowns for the rest of the year for Gronk.
Way over.
Way over?
So. Twice as many.
Seven? Then if you believe 7 touchdowns, then ride with Gronk. Honestly, if that's what you think. But if it's more of like a he's going to get one every couple games thing, which I think is the case, then I will be backing off a little bit.
I back off as well. I don't think I trust
bye,
him.
Bye, bye.
All right, union member Cole wants to know, who should I start in a flex PPR? Debo Samuel, Devontae Freeman, or Justin Jackson?
I like Debo PPR? After the week that Debo had last week. He's getting his rushes, but he also, over the last couple weeks, 2 weeks ago, people got spooked by Debo, and I was able to scoop him up off a waiver wire because he only caught 2 of the 6 targets that came his way. Last week, I think he caught all 8 targets that came his way. I'm not looking at the stats right now, but I think that he is going to continue to get better. He's their best receiver.
That's a high praise, and Roan, I agree. I like Debo.
Fuck yeah, that's high praise.
Listen to this trade. This is just ridiculous. Someone offered me Aaron Rodgers and Cooper Kupp for Keenan Allen. Should I do it? I mean,
hit me with that one more time.
Someone offered me Aaron Rodgers and Cooper Kupp, those two guys, for Keenan Allen. Should I do it? I feel like that's an automatic yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a yes. I don't think Cooper Kupp is that big of a downgrade from Keenan Allen. And you're getting,
it depends who your quarterback is.
That's true. He doesn't say who his quarterback is, but I mean,
there are a handful of quarterbacks I'd rather have and start over Aaron Rodgers, but if you're hurting at quarterback, absolutely. Yeah,
I agree with Nick. I think that's a no-brainer if you're hurting a quarterback. But that kind of speaks to my point before where you have to give two guys that would start on another team to get one guy that would start on your team to upgrade them. I assume whoever's making this trade has another good quarterback because I can't see someone wanting Keenan Allen that much. But that being said, if it's just a slight upgrade you can get at wide receiver, that trade could be a win-win. Keenan Allen is, I think, better than Cooper Kupp. He's someone who's going to start for you every week. I already like Justin Herbert and him, what they have going on. So I think that could be a win-win depending on the quarterback play.
Tell me if you disagree, either of you boys. Any of you fellas.
Yes, motherfucker.
It's usually the person that gets one piece for their two pieces that wins the trade. In this case, doesn't seem like it, but it seems like you're taking advantage of a team that needs more pieces, so you can trade 2 startable players for 1 very good player.
Like sweetening the pot.
Yes.
Yeah, that's usually the case, I feel like. But this doesn't seem like
it.
I mean,
it doesn't seem like it.
I don't know what his team is, so that's what makes it...
It's a tough call, but I'd say do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Do it.
All right. Nick, I heard you're motioning my hand. You said you had something to say to the people. To the people in the front and in the back. Offering a 401k sends a great message to your employees. It says you have their back. When it comes to choosing a 401k provider for them, which one will have yours? Small businesses have a lot to do, have a lot on their list, and finding an affordable 401k is a tough task. But with Guideline, you can cross it off your list and start saving with ease. Choosing the right retirement plan for your employees can be a complicated decision for busy small business owners. But with Guideline, your 401k plan can be simple and seamless. Think your business is too small to offer a 401k? It's not. 401k plans can help businesses attract and retain talent with a participant-focused plan From Guideline, you can give your business an edge. There are no separate setup costs, no added investment fees, and monthly fees start at only $39 plus $8 for each employee. And they integrate with popular payroll providers. Over 13,000 companies use Guideline to manage their 401k. What? And with a Guideline 401k, you and your employees can save money while saving for retirement. For a limited time. It's a limited time, guys. And for eligible employers only, if you go to guideline.com/barstool and tell them you came from the Fantasy Football Factory, you can get a $100 gift card if you do not currently offer a 401k plan for your employees when you start your 401k plan with Guideline. That's guideline.com/barstool to get your 401k for your business. Don't forget, that's guideline.com/barstool. Tell them the Fantasy Football Factory sent you. Do it.
If you have a business and you're not offering 401ks to your employees, what are you doing?
Good luck with that retention.
Seriously.
I'd be looking for a greener pasture.
I'd be out of there. I would be on job sites all day if I didn't have a 401k. Let's make it standard to shame businesses that aren't offering 401ks to their employees, because it should be the industry standard to offer it.
I agree with you, Ron.
Yeah, thank you. Finally, someone is standing up for the 401k.
I'm pro 401k. Let's just go around.
I probably made 401k off my 401k.
Damn.
But I'm also just, you know, in general, in my life ideology, it's like, I'm never getting this money. That's just like, just because I don't think I'm going to live long enough to, I do, and I participate with my 401k. I put money into it more because my parents are like, you got to do it. It's a smart thing to do. And it is a smart thing to do. But it's just such a long time. Like, I'm a liver of the moment. But yeah, I mean, it's not, I participate in it, but I just like, it's one of those things that if and when I get my 401k, it'll be a magical day, you know? Is that crazy?
A lot of people, it's not crazy of you to say, but there's a lot of people who never expect to get old, and then they just wind up old one day.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people that really need that 401k, where it's like, damn, I didn't realize that I would wind up being 68.
Right.
Like, I never saw 68 for myself.
I don't want to speak for
me.
You guys,
yeah,
but I'm getting older by the second.
Yeah, not me, but I'm sorry to hear that, Nick.
Yeah, it sucks, but at least I have something to look forward to, cashing out that sweet, sweet 401k.
All right, let's whip through this draft. Yes. We got 7 minutes to do this draft.
Yeah.
It is the Barstool employees we would go to war with.
Yeah. War.
What kind of war are we talking about?
They would be our allies.
I'm thinking physical war. You guys can take it whatever direction you
sure.
want.
Sure. Who's drafting first?
I'm going to draft first.
All right.
What were you about to say?
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to. I need my first overall pick.
I need my first
Dave.
Overall. Who you got?
I want Blattman. I want David Blattman.
I heard Dave, and I assumed Blattman.
Yeah. The most powerful Dave at the company, if we're talking about leg strength. David Blattman is who I want to go to war with. Conniving, always on the balls of his toes. He can lead a ship. If we wind up dying, we can chop his legs off and have some nice ham hocks. He has everything that you want in if you want to be in a foxhole with someone, more so even than our guys who have been in real life foxholes. David Blattman, the first pick, the only pick.
Wow. You guys mind if I that's a good one, and I'm have to scratch him off my list. You kind of fucked me there.
I'm sorry. That's why I had to jump in, because I know that everybody, it was on the tip of everyone's tongues.
I like that you brought up if it resorted to cannibalism, because those thighs, God.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it makes me consider every day. But my first
And if we got into like a pitching competition, think about how he'd push off the mound.
Oh, that kind of. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Also a catching competition. Pitching, catching, whatever you have in mind. But Nick, who do you have?
So I like, not only are you two my peers, you're also my adversaries.
Mm.
And with my first overall pick, I'm taking Rhea.
Mm.
And this will be like a Helen of Troy situation. I will be like Paris, just stealing her away. Hank, he'll lose all sense that he has. He will be bloodlusted. And he won't make good strategic decisions. He will just dive straight in, and that's where we take
Hank
advantage.
Hank is Agamemnon.
Agamemnon, yes.
Hank is definitely a big Agamemnon.
I mean, Rhea, she's ride or die, and she's a fighter. She'll go online.
Yes.
You know, if she gets mad, she's gonna let you know. She's gonna go at you and not stop until she feels like she's gotten the justice she deserves. And if it was a physical fight, I think she'd probably do well too. Like once she gets hot, she's not stopping until someone's dead.
Definitely worthy of a first pick.
Wasn't Paris a bitch in that story though? Wasn't Paris like the biggest bitch of all time? Like he wouldn't go to war.
Huge bitch. He had made Hector, his brother, fight for him, but Paris did end up killing Achilles.
True.
With a bow
with
and
a
arrow.
Terrible shot.
Through where? Where did the arrow go through?
His palm.
His
calf. His upper arm. His elbow.
Let's
his wrist joint.
Why do we call this part of our body? This.
His MCL.
Oh, I thought he was named after that part of the body.
No. Oh. That's what it's named after him.
It was so his arm?
A leaf covered his Achilles, right? Or something like that when he was... that was his one spot that was like susceptible because he had like a leaf covered his Achilles or something.
Most men have that spot located in the prostate. But his, right there on the ankle.
Samson had that spot located in his hair.
Was it in his hair?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, but that's some good ass history by all of us. Hank, I'm sorry though. What's your pick?
My first pick, Berserker Billy Football.
Ooh.
Just a big piece of man meat.
Yeah,
pretty much his entire brain is just consumed with lifting and working out and physical activities. He's also a bit of a golden retriever, so you know, if it was like an online fight, I could just tell him, you know, this is what I need you to do, and I have no doubt. Well, he probably wouldn't do most of it, but he would do some of it.
I think he might go too far with some of the things, which
but
is
that's
good.
War.
You want
we're
that in war,
yeah.
And I don't think you'd ever have to be worried about a coup. I don't think he'd ever take over.
No, correct. So Billy won, and then my second, a newer employee, Coach Duggs.
Oh.
Just a big boy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Loyal. He quit a job just because someone was talking shit about Dave. He's got the loyalty. He's got the size. He's, you know, he basically is not a real-life person. Like, he was basically born out of Big Cat's brain. So, you know, he's a shapeshifter. He could, you know, infiltrate, do some Trojan horses if we're talking about Greek mythology. So I'm taking Billy and Coach Duggs.
That's a good core of a team. But you guys are missing that war isn't just physical. It's a mental game, mental warfare. So I'm taking Jim Florentine. Imagine you're trying to rest up for a big battle tomorrow. Ring, ring, ring. You pick up the phone. Hello? It's the original creator fucking with you.
Oh, no.
He is deep in your skull. He is in every lobe, your cerebellum, just fucking around in that brain. You don't know what's what. You can't battle tomorrow.
I remember ordering Chinese food.
Ari's going to make my last pick.
All right. All right, Hank. Yeah, so Florentine pairs well with Rhea. They, you know, they get along. They do a lot of content together. That's my two.
So for my next pick, I'm going to take someone who is well-versed. If you need to get your life ruined, then your life ruined, rather, then I'm going to go ahead and pick Kirk Minahan. I'm pretty sure that guy is ready to go to war. A lot of his show, I think, is predicated on just being ready to go to war with anybody. He stays ready, so he doesn't have to get ready. That's just kind of the timber of his programming. From what I've picked up, so if I'm going to war, there's nobody I want to be in the trench with more than Blattman, and then after that, Kirk Minahan.
And what about
and then
three?
Finally with my third pick, Chaps, who's actually has been in a he's actually been in a foxhole, so it's like he would be able to teach me the tactical sides of things. He'd be actually able to shoot somebody in their freaking dome piece and freaking ruin their day.
And then some, for sure. That's a good squad. That's a damn good squad.
Yeah,
you've almost covered all your bases, except, dare I say, is your team a little problematic? No women. But you know what? I already have one woman. Let's have a second. War is strategy. You need a master tactician, Roan. That's why I'm taking Brianna Chicken Fry. She has cracked the TikTok algorithm. The government can't even do that. She has been destroying TikTok. And what's harder, TikTok or war? Be honest with me.
TikTok.
Yes.
TikTok,
and she's mastered obviously. That. What is war to her?
Yeah, it's just a big TikTok.
She'd be in my battle tent moving those pieces of my troops. I'll be like, why are you doing this? Shut up, Nick. I've got this. I figured out the algorithm of war.
Wars are being fought today over TikTok. TikTok is the new medium through which all wars will be fought. Dance battles, rap battles, diss tracks. I've seen TikTokers getting in fist fights. If anyone is equipped to be a bellicose individual, it's any of these people who are on TikTok, thriving on the new media of today.
Thanks.
Yeah, that was a great pick. But I'm shocked. The tank. Frank.
Oh.
The tank.
He's named after a weapon of war.
His name is The Tank. I don't think I need to say anything else. And for Hank's team, those are two big boys coming at you. So I'm going...
That's the Berlin Wall.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to do? What are you... Like, you can't break through that.
Yeah, you're right. You can't. And you know what? Looking back, he has Doug's and he has Tank.
Yeah.
That's a team.
Yeah.
And if wars aren't fought through TikTok dance battles, they're won on the mini golf course.
Yes.
And whose team is better equipped to handle that than Hank himself? Arya, why don't you rattle off an expansion team?
I mean, honestly, Big Cat. Just agent of chaos in multiple ways. He can get you verbally. He can get you with pranks. He's a big person, not a big guy like you know, Doug's and Frank. But I mean, he's got everything. So I would go. These honorable mentions would be Big Cat. Team him up with Dave, who is one of our fiercest. Maybe not even one of, but probably our fiercest fighter at Barstool. And them two together, I mean, it's just fireworks all the time. And then
what about Glennie? No Glennie? Glennie's shocked that nobody picked Glennie.
I love Glennie.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
I mean, actually, the thing is, he's very nice, but I've seen him go off. Mm-hmm. But
KFC could be good, too, with that team. That team would be pretty complete with KFC, Dave, and Big Cat.
Yeah, that would be. I think, yeah, that would be a good one. Them three or Erica. I feel like I'm picking off the top too much. That's a little too much off the top. But Dave and Dan are a great duo to put together and just cause hell. I mean, they built this company together with a few other people, but they're killing it.
They are.
No one said Devlin, he'll swat you.
Ooh.
Nobody said Ebony, she'll beat the shit out of you. No one said Brandon Walker, he'll fucking park bench shove you with his palms. There's a lot of people who you would want to go to war with.
We're surrounded by killers.
Jesus, what are we doing, guys?
Yeah, it's a real killer's office.
They're on our team, thank God.
Thank God.
Yeah,
man,
thank
the time. Arya, even. I was going to pick you, Arya. There's nobody fucking that's... If we have an enemy, Arya, you're going to be in the fucking mix. And I know that, and I love that about you.
And do you think pointing a camera, do you think that translates to a sniper rifle?
I do.
A sniper rifle is the camera of guns.
I do. And people get uncomfortable when I put a camera in their face. So, yes.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, Ron. Because I would love to fight a lot of people at Rough and Rowdy, but I just feel like I don't have a big draw, so I stay quiet. But I would definitely fight for you fellows in this podcast, for sure.
I'm glad to have
my
you
on fucking
our side.
Slime.
My
Thank
fucking
you, my slime.
Slime.
You're also my slime. Both of our slimes.
Our fucking slime.
Our fucking slime, dude. You are our slime, man. You are our slime.
I appreciate that.
All right, boys. Well, I'm going to sign off, but, you know, if you have any questions for next week, send them on over to us. We're going to be there. And also make sure you download that podcast, rate that podcast, subscribe to that shit, and fucking, you know, get your 401k, get your Jimmy John's.
Get them both.
Get your mortgage. Get your mortgage, too.
All three, you got yourself the trifecta. Boston Scott does poorly. Erroneous. Tweet him.
Fuck, that's going to suck.
Get after him.
Get
suck.
After him.
Fuck.
Let him know.
What the fuck, Arya? Fuck.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, boys.